Open House this week will feature guest hosts from the South Mountain Partnership. The South Mountain Partnership is a collaborative network of people and organizations protecting and promoting the agricultural, natural, cultural, and recreational resources of Adams, Cumberland, Franklin, and York counties. Over time, we have transformed into an alliance of citizens, businesses, nonprofits, colleges and universities, and government agencies all working together because we love the place that we call home. Our work can only move forward with the help of our partners, and today we want to highlight the important work they are doing in the region. We hope you will join us. Click the link below or scan the QR code to learn more about our State of the Region project.
Welcome to Open House, a program celebrating great people doing great things in our region. I'm Julia Chain from the South Mountain Partnership, and today I'm guest hosting. I'm really excited to introduce you to my guest, Ben Wenk of Plow & Cider and Three Springs Fruit Farm. Thanks so much for being here, Ben.
Yeah, thanks for having me.
So tell me about you. Tell me about your farm, your family. Let's get into it.
Sure, absolutely. Three Springs Fruit Farm is the farm that my family's been operating for about 200 years. We've moved all about a half a mile in the northern part of Adams County. I've been farming since the 1820s. I'm the seventh generation of my family to farm in that part of the world. And we've been focusing on apples since the 1960s and have undergone a number of permutations over that long stretch of time. But most recently, I've been doing farmers markets in the DC, Baltimore, Philadelphia, and central Pennsylvania regions. And eventually, starting at the end of 2016, started making commercial alcoholic cider as well. So that brand is called Plowman Cider. So that's the short version of all the things that I kind of have my hands in from a professional standpoint.
So. Yeah, absolutely. Well, we're super glad that you're a partner of the South Mountain Partnership. We're a conglomeration of all kinds of organizations, as you know, both environmental nonprofits, local government, and great partners and farmers like you. So we're big fans. I'm a big fan of the cider as well. So tell me about the impetus to get into cider.
Sure. So we had been doing farmers markets in Philadelphia. Well, to take you the whole way back, like the first year that we did farmers markets in Philadelphia, there was a day that my dad and I were the kind of crew in the truck, and we had a good day at market. Decided, let's go catch a drink at the pub right behind our stand. And you know, this is right out of college, and I was still in craft beer discovery mode, and I would order whatever. Wasn't that I didn't recognize any tap handle that was unfamiliar. I ordered a Strongbow, not even knowing it was cider. I'd never heard of it before, and that was the first cider that really kind of caught my imagination and really started to allow me to think about, well, you know, is this something that has some viability? And started making some cider as a, you know, just an enthusiast and home cider maker. Yeah. That first fall that we did farmers markets, which would have been 2007. And, you know, just kept at it as a fun hobby and a great excuse to make some cider, invite some friends over for a party every year, and eventually kind of figured out, well, you know, this could be a commercial viable enterprise, especially since we had been kind of embraced by the food scene in Philadelphia through the back of house, like all the chefs that would come visit the market and shop with us, and eventually us delivering to those restaurants. That, you know, by the time I was really thinking about making a commercial enterprise, it's like we have this whole network of people who can go to bat for us. And so, eventually decided to put it all together and create a new business that you know, would hopefully, really represent our incredible apple growing region through the ciders that we're making. And that was a real point of pride and a real kind of part of the exigency that got this whole thing started.
Absolutely, yeah. Well, we're certainly very proud. And to speak about more about that pride, tell me what it's like to have grown up in this area and to know your family has such a long history. How does the industry that you work in connect to the place of the South Mountain?
Sure. Well, you know, fully acknowledging my biases here, but like I really believe that the South Mountain fruit belt is the finest area to grow tree fruit in the United States. From a quality perspective. And, I've traveled a lot. I don't just say that out of hand, you know. And I really believe that, you know, it's really important for us to tell that story and get the word out, because when we go to places like Philadelphia and we have all this beautiful tree fruit and stuff, and in Philadelphia they just assume it's from New Jersey because they're not as familiar with what we do here in the South Mountain region. So, you know, that I think is a really important thing, and you know, nurturing that it's just important to maintain that connection to the region it's just so unique in terms of like the air drainage, the soils are all things that we need to protect, and it just gives me a great amount of pride to be from an area that is known or should be known, is known and has the potential to be better known, we'll say, as such a breadbasket community that serves such large metropolitan areas, and obviously here in our own community as well. You know, it's, and especially being from Biglerville, that's, you know, very much associated with the apple industry. You know, really in a lot of ways, that's kind of what led me back to a career in agriculture when I was in high school, was the idea that I could someday call myself a fruit grower, because that's such a term that has a lot of pride associated with it for those of us who kind of grew up in that Biglerville area.
Yeah, so you're talking about your home and how being a fruit grower helps, you know, connect both to your family history and then forward thinking. It's been a career for you. So tell me about how fruit growers impact our economy and tourism in the region.
Sure. Oh, man, that's... I wish I had the data memorized, but you know, the economic impact of the apple industry in Pennsylvania is very, very large. It affects it has, you know, ripple effects all over the local economy. You know, whether it be through Naus Foods and the processing fruit industry, Rice Fruit Company and the packed fruit industry, Bear Mountain Orchards. You know, still lots of farmers market attendees that are based in the South Mountain region.
Yeah, need to have all those scales, right? Like you can go to the fruit belt and buy your peaches or your apples, but those same peaches and apples can be across the country nationwide probably too.
Yeah, regional, national distribution of these things. You know, that's the same with our cider product and other folks like Big Hill who have cider in our area. Like, you know, we're getting the word out and trying to, you know, maximize our impact, and again, like, make sure that there's a regional identity behind these products so that people associate this area with the kind of beautiful agricultural products we're talking about, whether it's fresh fruit, you know, a can of applesauce or a bottle of cider or any of those things.
Well, and when we're talking about tourism, something that I know you do really well is pair the cider with some good music and a good time. So tell me more about that. How do you do that?
Sure, and that's something that, you know, going back to my decision to get into agriculture, the alternative at the time was looking at music things, and it's been really fun to see how, while choosing a career in agriculture, it's kind of boomeranged back around to be, you know, a driving force for the music scene in central Pennsylvania here. So we do a lot with live music at our tap room in the square of Gettysburg, and we really want to, you know, be curating good experiences around agriculture, apples, cider, and music. That's like the thing we talk about, and whether that's here for our own home community or people who might be visiting from elsewhere, to leave with that sense of like, oh, these are the things that you know, are special about this area. So you know, we certainly have a constant calendar of entertainment at the tap room, and then each year we have our own music festival, Dig My Earth Festival, that will occur the first weekend after Memorial Day, which is just a celebration of, again, good music and good cider, and it's quasi Bob Dylan adjacent. It's closest to Bob Dylan's birthday, and it has the play off the lyric "Plowman, Dig My Earth." So that's something we look forward to every year. And then the following weekend is PA Cider Fest, which we recently revived, and that attracted 1,000 guests to our area to drink cider that's only made in Pennsylvania. No large national brands. We had, I think, 25 different producers from all over the Commonwealth of Pennsylvania. That was a wonderful event, and of course incorporated music in that as well. And then the other event that I'm particularly excited to talk about here is, it's coming up on the 14th of December, is our annual anniversary celebration, which we have now deemed as Cidernalia, our anniversary party, which takes place at the National Apple Museum and benefits the South Mountain Partnership. And that will be occurring again this year. We have the full lineup of bands already set up. There'll be an announcement coming very soon.
Yeah.
As far as who you can expect to see there, but it's an all day, you know, party with great food and great cider and great music. And
well, we've been so appreciate your support, and I've had the pleasure to attend, and it is a good time. So
yeah.
They're great food, great music, and great people. Nice people to meet there, that's for sure. Now, is there any kind of new project that you're working on that you're excited about?
Well, yeah, on the cider side of things, we are launching a new series of ciders
This
fall, which is really exciting.
All right.
We've done a lot with single varietal ciders in the past.
Uh-huh.
We really love the way that a single varietal cider can educate the consumer about how important the raw ingredients are.
Mm-hmm.
There's a lot of cider made in the United States where the people making it might not really have a good understanding of what varieties are in it.
Well, and tell me, like, what is in a cider?
Sure. I mean, so cider is fundamentally made in a way that's very similar to wine.
Mm-hmm.
So there's no brewing, there's no heating in the production of cider. We're taking the best apples we can, harvesting them at their peak, rinsing, crushing, squeezing them into the same, well, product that would be similar to what you would see in your farmer's market in the brown jugs and whatnot. Only in the case of cider, as we prefer to make it, we are intentional with the varieties that we're using and choosing varieties that excel in making an alcoholic product rather than just what's available. And in so doing, we're really kind of separating ourselves from the marketplace, because a lot of that cider that you will find in, you know, just a six-pack store, the most commonly available ciders, I guess we would say, are really made with just what's called packing house calls, or the apples that would be going to a grocery store that didn't live up to the high standards of your retail grocer. And, you know, a lot of those varieties you can make some good cider with, but they're not always appropriate for making cider. And so choosing specific varieties, especially ones that we find grow particularly well in this region, to kind of continue to build that regional identity behind the ciders that we're making.
And are there additives? Is there anything else added in?
No. It really is it's at this point pretty much a one ingredient product.
Which is really cool. It tastes great. And no additional sugar, all those things, like, you know, you're not.
Yeah, no sugar.
Surprise.
Right, no sugar added. And at this point, really, most of our ciders are wild yeast fermented, which is a way of saying that we're really relying on whatever yeast were present on the apples to ferment the beverage, instead of choosing a clonal yeast to add to do the fermentation. And the best way to think about that is, you know, a similar way to like a natural wine operates the same way. And, you know, that also adds, again, to the regional specific nature of what we're doing, because those yeast only exist in our orchard. It makes it a very, a product that's very unique to our region that way, which is really exciting.
So is there a new cider that's coming out that's a favorite of yours?
Yes. So the first cider released under this new series of blended ciders from fine apples and cider-specific varieties is going to be called Fishhawk.
Fishhawk. Ooh, I like that.
Yes. And it kind of, you know, it kind of does lead into our it pairs with our passion for conservation and the outdoors, and especially, you know, both sides of my family are really big birders, and I grew up with that as kind of a thing. And so we're going to be basing this series off of the colloquial names that we have for birds of prey South Central Pennsylvania here. So we're starting with the fishhawk, which is the osprey, which has a nice significance for me, because every time I see an osprey on one of our farm ponds, it's an instant, like, okay, 10-minute clock out. I'm just going to sit here and watch this osprey fish and hunt this pond, because they're just such stunning creatures.
They really are.
But it's fun to have a cider that is going to be released that carries that. It's a beautiful illustration as well. But Just a beautiful blended ciders. I don't have the varieties written down that are in this particular blend, but it's just a really charming blend of apples from our farm that are particularly nice for cider making.
Well, it'll be exciting to try the blend versus the single make. Now, if someone is new and wants to try a cider of yours for the first time, where would you recommend they start?
Sure. We have 4 year-round ciders that we kind of keep in stock in 12-ounce cans. And the 4 of those are Dornick, Stamen Winesap, which is another single varietal cider, Birdwatcher, and Lummix. And of those, I find that Dornick tends to be the best introduction to the kinds of ciders that we make. It's a blended cider, it's dry, it's wild fermented, it uses apples that we have in abundance on the farm.
Yeah.
And it's just a really good introduction, like, okay, this is a good example of what we do. If you're coming from a more sweet cider background, I might choose to recommend Birdwatcher instead, because that's a cider we make with our own peaches.
Yeah.
Which and again, you got you got to have that bird illustration on there, because
it's beautiful. I've got the sticker on my cooler.
That's it. Yeah, the birds are very important to it. So, that's going to have a little bit more fruity aroma, even though it's still fully dry. All of our ciders are 0% residual sugar. Prepared and presented fully dry, so that would be an alternative as a good place to start into our brand.
Awesome. Well, so these birds kind of lead me to the next question I wanted to talk to you about. So the South Mountain Partnership is working on some action items that were brought up in our State of the Region project that initially measured the health of our region and sort of led us to some recommendations of ways to improve our region's health for our future. And so one of those action projects is connecting our mountains and our valleys together through wildlife corridors. Yeah. And so right now we sort of have the Michaux and greater forested land as the sort of center spine of our region. And I've been sort of joking, we need to put arms on that spine over to the Kittatinny on one side and then over to the highlands on more on your side.
Mm-hmm.
So seeing all the wildlife that you do, what ideas do you have about the connected corridors? Like, what benefit would you see that having in your work?
Sure. I mean, for those of us in agriculture, you know, we have to contend with a lot of vertebrate pests, you know, whether it be deer or mice or voles or things like that. And so for us, it's always important to have a robust and diverse population of wildlife. And so I can definitely see the work that you're talking about. You know, if we're able to provide better habitat for wild creatures in our region, that's going to increase the amount of predators that we have that could potentially combat some of these problem species in terms of how they affect our agricultural production. You know, similarly, it would be the same thing for some of these birds of prey that you're going to end up seeing on Plowman cider bottle labels here.
Yeah.
You know, whether it be, and I'll use the colloquial names like the sparrowhawks and the pigeonhawks, the kestrels and the merlins and birds like that are such effective ways of controlling small rodents that can be very damaging to the roots of our trees, and especially when we plant them when they're young trees, they're very vulnerable, and we've lost thousands of trees to mice and voles.
Wow. You don't think about that as the number one predator for trees.
It's a real problem. And, you know, it's a problem that's very difficult to control in a holistic way. And the best way to do it is to have, you know, all of your foxes and all your kestrels and merlins and all the other predators that we're lucky to have here. But, you know, those types of predators only exist when you have a vibrant and diverse community of, you know, like, those are the first species that tend to drop out.
Right. Yes.
When the environment is threatened.
Exactly.
And so the presence of those is not only good for us in agriculture, but it's also a symptom or a result, rather, is the better way to put it, of, you know, having good environmental protection around these wild species.
Yeah, absolutely. And we're so committed to really following the fruit belt because we know that it's a unique character of our region that's unlike anywhere else. And so one of the other things that we'll be working on is tracking land conversion and trying to ensure that we're not losing too much of that really prime agricultural land. So we're looking forward to working together with you on that. And I think that you know, the people like you help us on the ground every day. So the work that we're doing is minimal. It's really the partners coming together and creating these opportunities for land conservation across the region that really get me excited. And I'm curious, being a partner of the South Mountain and being involved with us for a really long time, one of our sort of founding supporters, what does it mean to you to be a part of our environmental collaborative network?
It's incredibly important because not only, not just because our family has such a history here, and you know we've laid our roots here and we love this region, and you know there's no place else for us to go for one, but in a very serious way, like, you know, we really love it here, and the parts that we love it aren't just going to stay that way because we want them to.
Right.
That's something that I think about a lot. If it's important, then you really have to invest in it.
Yeah.
And don't just leave it to chance.
Right.
It's very easy for all of us to value certain things and hold them in some degree of importance. And then, you know, you get complacent or you get busy with other things, and then you realize down the road that, oh, well, this has changed now.
Yeah.
And the only thing you can do at that point is complain.
Right.
But to be a participant and be an active partner in organizations such as what you guys are doing with the South Mountain Partnership, that is your way to make sure that the things you love about the place you live are going to continue on.
Yeah.
It's not going to happen just because you want it to.
Right.
It's going to happen because, you know, you're going to put some effort into it.
Yep.
And if it's important, back it up.
Yep.
Be a participant, be active. And that's the main thing for us, because, you know, we couldn't do what we do if we were trying to farm in suburbia amongst the
right.
cul-de-sacs and strip malls. I have no interest in trying to farm in those environments. And the fact that we don't have to is the only reason that we can thrive. And it's the reason that, you know, we have wildlife on our farm,
yeah.
and we have, you know, outdoor recreation in our region, and all these things that we love about living here, we can't take them for granted. We have to be an active participant in maintaining these things.
And you've really been active. I want to highlight not just your support of the South Mountain Partnership, but I know that you're a great supporter of the Land Conservancy of Adams County, another great partner of ours. We're looking forward to interviewing Sarah actually later today.
So great.
Excited to chat with her. But you're supporting, you know, these conservation networks. But I think the most important thing that you're doing is talking about our region in the way that you have this entire sort of chat that we've had, that the cider is intimately tied to where it's been made. And the more that folks realize that there's something unique about that, the easier it is to care about it, because if we all love it and we know that there's something we need to protect, I think it'll be a lot easier to do it together. So thanks for being such a good advocate.
Oh, well, I appreciate that, and thank you for saying that. And it's second nature. I don't know that I could not do it. You know, it's just something that is just it's baked into the bread of who I am. It's you know.
Hey, this is a good, it's a good bread. It's a good recipe.
All right. We'll stick to it.
Well, thank you so much for joining us today. It was really a pleasure to chat with you. Looking forward to hanging out and grooving at Cidernalia later this year.
Oh,
so thank you so much,
Ben. Wonderful. Thank you.
All right. This was a open house production. Thank you for joining us.